God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers, he didn't wink his eyes. All options, of course, he's God. Instead, he spoke words. God said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. When was the first time you knowingly cheated? Not necessarily in a marriage, but maybe in a test or taxes. You ever do that? Can you think of the first time you actually cheated on something? I think back on this, and I think probably if you count saying I did, let's say, chores on the phone to my mom, yeah, I did that. That's lying. Is it also cheating? I don't want to say proud, but I guess I'm happy that even as a young kid, I could never stomach cheating on even a girlfriend in junior high. I'd never done anything more than hold hands with. In fact, I didn't have a girlfriend until the end of, beginning of high school. Couldn't imagine having cheated on Pam, ever. So it's not that which I would do. Cards? Yeah. In fact, my friend Eric and I set up a system to cheat at cards when we were kids. We wasn't really a sophisticated system. It was, in fact, very stupid, and it didn't work. But we tried. We thought it'd be fun to just, be card sharks. The reason I asked that question is, there is something fascinating happening and something very serious and very scary happening. In June of last year, doesn't it seem odd to call 2023 last year? June 25 through 27, Rasmussen Reports conducted a poll of 1,501 U.S. likely voters. And they asked them, among many questions, the following. How concerned are you that the outcome of the 2024 presidential election will be affected by cheating? 40% of people overall were very concerned. 26% were somewhat concerned. The remainder were either not very or not at all. That is, 66% of people were very or somewhat concerned. But look, those are just average Joes. What do they know? Among Republicans, it was 54% very concerned. 26% somewhat concerned, independents 37 to 27, and Democrats 29% somewhat concerned, 26% very concerned. So even among Democrats, there's this concern. I say even among Democrats because it seems to be the prevailing idea that it's just the Democrats who cheat. But if that was the case, Mitch McConnell would have already demanded changes to the electoral system. Mitch? Hello? A loose system like that benefits everybody. Everybody. Who's willing to use it? But who would be willing to do that? To actually cheat an election? Right now, with the attempts to stricken President Trump from the ballots, I will say that's cheating. It's cheating because he's been convicted of nothing in relation to an insurrection. In fact, Jack Smith, the federal special prosecutor who hates President Trump with an apparent passion, didn't even charge him with leading an insurrection. He could have, but he didn't. Because then, of course, it would be up for debate in a courtroom. The attempt to strike President Trump from the ballot is obvious cheating. And if it happened, you'd have 48 states where President Trump could win, and two where he couldn't. But if two dropped him, two more would. And if the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's okay, you'd have half the country drop President Trump from the ballot in about 2 weeks after that decision. And then you would have built the precipice. No, not the precipice. You would be starting a civil war. I pray that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. I think it's incredibly unlikely. John Roberts, in my mind, Supreme Court Justice, is deeply, deeply compromised. And he's not stupid. Not at all. He's a brilliant man. Makes me sad to say I believe he's compromised, and I have very good reason for that. Very good. The fact is this. The three-fifths compromise, that perverse, horrible compromise that's seen as referring to black people as three-fifths of a human being, unbelievably ungodly fraction. You know why that was done? It was to set about a mathematical process by which the South could not sustain itself, where it would run out of runway for the perverse institution of slavery. It was to roll out over time, to give the South time to plan, to give the time for the North to grow, and eventually slavery would end. Politics then informed the three-fifths compromise. Politics is war by peaceful means. People in the South looked at the math. It was an inexorable fact. They were running out of runway. The Civil War was fought for a lot of reasons, key among them, of course, slavery, states' rights, and math. If the Democrats proceed down this path of striking Trump from the ballot, they're not going to stop at Trump. They'll do this to any Republican they can. It's like the three-fifths compromise. Hey, your candidate can only run, can only run on the ballot in three-fifths of the states, or half. People will look at the math. We're not allowed to vote for our side. Politics is war by peaceful means. When there is no political solution, what's left? For those of us who follow Jesus Christ, what's left is to say, yep, the Bible said this would happen. The Bible said people would call good evil and evil good. Christians are often, throughout history, have often been oppressed, have often faced circumstances like this. And guess what? We thrive in it. We thrive in it, but only when we put our heads and our hearts and our souls in the right place. Give unto Caesar what is his. Oh, I'm not saying don't object. I'm not saying don't fight tooth and nail in a godly way to prevent this stuff from happening. But I'm begging you right now to make the decision to be on your knees and saying, I will not hate the people who do this. I will not. That's so hard. I feel it in my heart right now. How's your emotions? How are your emotions? I feel anxious. I feel angry when I think of these things. And so I'm trying to hand this to the Holy Spirit. How does he feel? Calm as he ever has. As optimistic as ever. In fact, I can hear the Holy Spirit saying, what are you concerned about? There are far bigger topics. And yet we live here. For now. See, these polls, and again, that was back in June, they're just talking to ordinary Joes. Those ordinary Joes, they don't have the inside picture, so they can't possibly know. What about someone who actually has the inside picture? Dr. John Gentry was a CIA analyst for about 12 years. He's a college professor. He's just written a book called Neutering the CIA. He was on Fox News Digital. He had some absolutely fascinating things to say in regard to his new book. This is part of what Dr. John Gentry said.
When you begin to push ideals into organizational culture, you begin to create situations in which biases can begin to affect analysis. And when these become publicly known, as they were pretty clearly in the early Trump era, if not before, they begin to generate external doubts about whether intelligence is apolitical the way it used to be, whether it's making mistakes. Some mistakes, of course, are normal. This is a tough business, and absolute perfection is not to be expected. But you want to minimize those, and you don't want to have them created as a result of of ideology-driven analytic errors. And then, of course, beyond that, there were accusations that are still underway about whether there was a deep state, whether there was an effort to launch a coup to overthrow the Trump presidency, and so on. So there are lots of issues that have arisen in recent years that lend evidence to suspicions of some people that the IC as a whole is biased and that it cannot be trusted.
It's Dr. John Gentry, who was a CIA analyst for 12 years. He's a college professor. He's written a book called Neutering the CIA. He's on Fox News Digital. Oh, it's not supposition. When he says the IC, he means the intelligence community, by the way. Oh, it's not supposition. They knowingly signed a letter saying the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian propaganda. They knew that to be false. They knew those were lies. But they signed the letter anyway. Now, when someone is willing to overthrow another country, say like Ukraine, why would they not turn that on their own country if it felt to them that that must happen to save the country? To save democracy, we need to destroy democracy. The intelligence services and a lot of people there, and there are very good people who work there, but as a whole, they view themselves as the only thing that really keeps the country together. It's not the electeds. They come and go like a breeze. It's them. They're the ones who have to stay. They're the experts. They are the government. These other people are just politicians. They come in, they have moments in the sun or not sun. Well, if you read anything about John Kennedy's interaction with the CIA, and I've read a book called John Kennedy and the Unthinkable, the unthinkable being that John Kennedy was taken out by his own government, that's a point of view I've grown to accept, sadly, over the past 2 years. It had nothing to do with Tucker Carlson's analysis. It had to do with me looking at what the CDC and the National Institute of Health were willing to do in order to trans children. They all know that doesn't work. They all know it's absolutely abhorrent, medically useless at the best, harmful at most likely. And then to see them follow on with the COVID hoax and the modified mRNA injections called vaccines. If they're willing to do that, exactly what aren't they willing to do? John Kennedy feared he was going to be assassinated by people who had tried to force him to invade Cuba, who were willing, in fact, to kill American service members on our shores, in our country, in a false flag attack. That's not in question. It was in a project called Operation Northwoods. And the author of that project indicated that the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff said, yeah, let's do that. They'd become afraid that Kennedy's desire for peace had made him a tool of Russia. Oh, on the topic of math, as we began with the poll and the perverse 3/5 compromise, which was really an effort to have a peaceful end to slavery, politics is war by peaceful means, on math, the figurehead Biden has allowed 9 million people to traipse across the border unchecked. They're given $5,000 Visa debit cards and $2,200 a month once they are named as refugees. Biden is not in control of this country, but there are people who get the math. Oh, by the way, when I say those things, how are your emotions? Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? As the guy doing the show, I just had to check myself. I went right back into the flesh. Do we trust God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might? In the last 90 seconds, I can't honestly say I did. I have to constantly remind myself to be in the world and not of it. We'll continue on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This past week, weekend actually, I saw a video on Twitter. It was posted up by a friend of mine. She lives in the separate country of Seattle, within the separate country of Washington State, and happens to be a successful author and children's rights advocate. She's the wife of a pastor. She's not the person you would expect then to ram a car. No, she didn't ram it. I mean, that would be an act of violence, and that would truly shock me, unless it was in defense of her life. But she found herself in Seattle, trapped in her vehicle with tens of thousands of other people because pro-Hamas demonstrators had seized what's called the West Seattle Freeway. There was no way out for most of them. And Katie Faust decided, after a long time stuck there, to very gently move her car up to the bumper of one of the protesters' cars and then to step on the accelerator. Not to harm anybody, but to go home. I had her on my podcast this past week to tell the whole story about what happened and whether she's concerned about the police coming after her, because they will not be going after the protesters who seized the freeway, because it is the separate country of Seattle. This is an excerpt from that interview. Katie Faust, author, friend, mother, child of the king, welcome back to the Todd Herman Show.
It's such a joy to be with you again and to catch up. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Appreciate you very much. And man, we were catching up before we came on, and we'll see how much you want to share that publicly. But I just want to dig into this because you did something that I said I would do. I pledged I would do. I would not be held captive in my car. And it was at 4 o'clock on Friday. So you take over from wherever you want to start the story.
Well, yeah, it was just last Friday. I was, you know, getting on the West Seattle Bridge, which, you know, we're in the West Seattle area. We use the bridge all the time. It is like when you cut off the bridge, you cut off West Seattle, as we learned when they let it fall into disrepair, and it absolutely like paralyzed us for 2 years. But, you know, I'm on the West Seattle Bridge, and these cars get on the freeway. I'm right before the Highway 99 overpass, and they're right next to each other, and their hazard lights are blinking. And I'm like, oh, what is going on? Was there an accident ahead that I didn't see? Like, did somebody's car break down? What's happening? And then I realized that there's a couple other cars that have also come on right next to me with their hazards going, and they're crawling, right? They've slowly reduced their speed down to like 10 or 15 miles an hour. And I'm like, what is happening? And then you suddenly realize, like, I had this moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, they're coordinating something. But, you know, in those moments, you're like, you don't know what they're about to do. And I had that kind of realization right as we were going under the Highway 99 overpass. I was like, you know, they're obviously coordinating something and I can't get out. And I thought, you know, if for some reason they let off a car bomb right now, I can't go. They've now stopped. Well, like, there's a huge buildup behind me. They're clogging the lanes in front of me. There's no exit coming up. I'm like, I will not, whatever they do, I can't get out of it. Like, you have this moment of, okay, they are now in control of my life, you know? So when we got past the underpass and they had like slowed down to like 5 miles an hour, and they finally put the Palestine flags out the window and they're flying them, there was a bit of relief in me, honestly, that was the only thing that was probably going to happen. But, you know, I was in the very, very front, and there was one or two other cars that were kind of up there next to me, and people were pissed, you know, like my windows were up and I could hear the cars around me screaming, if we didn't hate you before, we hate you so much more now. I mean, these people are not making allies or converts out of anybody with these tactics. But, you know, I'm right at the front, unlike the thousands of people that were behind me. And there's times in those situations, you know, there's times of injustice where, like, I've got a very long wick, especially if it's a personal offense. I can let things go. But when you start to victimize innocence, something in me snaps. So I got up, you know, there was a shoulder that started to emerge. And so I tried to move over and get around them on the shoulder, but one of the cars moved right in front of me, so I couldn't get around. So I very carefully went right up against their bumper and gunned it. Like, wow. Tires spinning, you know, you could see the, I don't know if it was smoke or just debris, but the car was big enough that I couldn't move it. So then I was like, well, screw you. I'm going to find some way to breach this line. So then I kind of moved over behind the smallest car of the pack and same thing, got up right behind them, hit the bumper. I mean, like gently, there wasn't a collision,
right?
And hit the gas. And in my van, it was big enough to push the car out of the way. And what I was hoping was that it would create this breach where like people could pour through it and they, you know, but they closed ranks behind me. And I think I was the only one that was able to get through. And then I got up to the top of the bridge, got out of my car in the middle of, you know, the freeway, and could turn around and shoot a video of it because they had blocked everything. There was no traffic getting through. So that was how I spent my my Friday night. And I feel so bad for all of the people who were not at the front and could not get through or would not get through. And, you know, like I posted it. And there were several people that were like, well, you know, it was 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Like, is it worth doing that when you're only going to be delayed for 15 minutes? I'm like, you don't know. Like, you're in a situation like that. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what they're planning. You don't know if they're going to let you through. You don't know. And it's like an absolute injustice to just decide that I will hold you hostage. And, you know, for me, I was in the car alone, but I've had those times when my kids were little and, you know, you're nursing and the baby's crying and you're like, okay, I'm right by my exit. In 3 minutes, I'm going to be home, or 5 minutes, I'm going to be home. And no, like some idiots block traffic. And you're like, nope, now it's going to be 45 minutes before and my baby's crying in the back or whatever, or you have to go relieve the babysitter, or you've got an aging parent. I mean, like it's a crime that they think they can control your life, you know, and that their whatever virtue signaling is more important than you being with your family or making it work on time. I mean, it's absolute insanity.
Right. And I played this this audio of this kid who was trying to justify this because, oh, we're shutting down the economy. He speaks into TikTok with ads running, right? Of course, and with paying for the service and the internet. It's so remarkable that people are this blind. Katie Faust is with us, author, I don't say activist, but I guess, yeah, you're an activist.
I'm a total activist,
right?
I'm a total children's rights activist.
So I want to just address a couple things, but first of all, I have a prediction I'll share with you. I'm very glad you did this, and I'll tell you why. It's because I have a prediction. It's a dark prediction, but God speaks it into me every time I see these tactics. One day, it's not going to be a protest. One day, they're going to stop a freeway, and there's going to be a bunch of them in front, in the middle of the pack. They're going to exit their cars with rifles, and they're going to kill hundreds of people. And they're going to dare the cops to come in with helicopters. What are you going to do? You're going to come in and target us with helicopters as we go car to car and murder people? Because it's the perfect bottleneck for that. And you want to make a statement. You want to make an evil statement. I predict they're going to do that. People have said to me, you shouldn't say these things on the show because they're going to take these tactics and use them. I've said, do you think honestly that there's things that they've thought of that I'm going to mention on a show they haven't thought of? Did you see what they did on October 7th? I couldn't have imagined those things. They've imagined that. So yeah. I think people have a responsibility to get out of those situations. I also saw the Twitter thread, and in fact, I broke a rule of mine, is that I went and tried to debate some of the people who are responding to you. One of the tamest responses was that, oh, so you couldn't be inconvenienced for a half an hour. And my response to that man was, okay, so what is the exact amount of time Americans must sit captive in their cars, right? So what, is it 12 days? What is it? Mm-hmm. The other ones, though, Katie, and this concerns me because you live in a pagan land that serves these people, and they're allowed to do these tactics. In fact, they're celebrated. I'm very, very concerned that law enforcement is going to come after you because I saw people saying you admitted to a hit and run. And of course, you didn't admit to anything of the sort. But I'm deeply concerned that they're going to come after you. Are you?
It's possible. And, you know, I've thought about it and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? well, I'm not going to lie about it. And I do think that, well, here's the problem. When somebody needs to act, This is like, stopping traffic is a criminal offense, right? It is illegal to stop traffic the way that they stop traffic. So what is to be done? Somebody needs to act. And unfortunately, we have chosen policies so that the police cannot or won't act. I mean, and we've got friends that are on the police force and they desperately would love to arrest, charge, pursue, but they can't. And so, like, choose government. Who is going to act? Is it going to be police that have gone through some kind of training, that have some kind of regulation, that have a code of conduct that they're, or is it going to be the individual citizen who may not have the same level of restraint, who may not have the same kind of, measures to scale their response? Like, you have chosen to not act. So you are choosing to have ordinary people act.
Yep.
So yeah, there is a possibility that somebody could, depending on the disposition of a DA or whatever, yeah, they could come after me. And then, like, what? I honestly think it would just empower more people, because I'll just say, yeah, this is exactly what I did, and this is what I was thinking, and, like, I'll totally own it. And I think that there's a possibility that it will just raise up more people that'll say, you're right, I'm not going to put up with it anymore in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing, is if they do come after you, then your lawyer, I would assume you would have a lawyer, would be able to say, great, so where are the people who committed the original offense? So we'll bring them in, and we will, you, the police, will now go find these people, we'll bring them in, and then it becomes, and that's, I think, what they don't want, because they don't want to have a spotlight shine on the fact that all these people can, in fact, be tried. This has been a deadly thing that people have done in Seattle. Some young women took over the I-5 freeway, and there was a man who ran over one of them and killed one of them. And it was inconvenient for Seattle because he happened to be a man of color. So they couldn't make it a racial thing, though they tried. Katie, I faced something very similar. I said on the radio when I had just the Seattle radio show, before we were blessed with these platforms that we have now. And I'd said on the air, look, here's what I would do. If I was first in line, I would ask them to move. And I know they wouldn't. And when they didn't, I would call 911. And I would say, here's the situation. I am stuck behind some people who blocked the freeway. I'm in fear for my life. I am being held against my will. I fear for my life. I'm giving you 10 minutes to respond legally, or I will. And what I will do, and I drive a big truck. You've probably seen my truck. I will push them out of the way. I will ask them to move, but they're not going to be able to block my truck. So I will push them out of the way. I'll go to a corner of a bumper. I'll turn them sideways, and I will push them as far the way as I can. I'll endeavor not to harm anybody. I'd said the same thing about people, like, just even if they're not in cars standing there, I will move my car forward. I'd say the same thing. I'm in fear for my life. And I get on a PA system and say, guys, I'm going to roll forward. I'm not stopping. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not going to go over 5 miles per hour, but I'm rolling. And some Antifa types heard that and they showed up at my office. I was coming out of the radio station where you've met with me several times. And they were standing on the doorstep to the radio station. And they stepped to me. And one of the guys said, we're here because you said you would kill our comrades. And I said, no, I didn't. What I said was what I just said. And I went to the biggest of the Antifa members with his mask and said, so you and me? And he goes, hey, 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 and put his hands up. And then he looked down at my hip. I go, oh, yeah, I do carry. So you and me? Mm-hmm. And I go, guys, I'm not a soft target. Mm-hmm. Right? You can hassle soccer moms this way, but not me. And then one of them looked across the street and said, is that your guy filming over there? Well, these things up here, those are connected to security at the radio station, and we have a threat assessment department. Guess what? They're former FBI agents. Mm-hmm. So you're already on film. So walk away. Mm-hmm. And this is something I want people to understand about these cities, is their pagan lands. We'll continue to talk with Katie Faust, who is an author. Latest book is Raising Conservative Kids in a Woke City. And Katie and I did continue to talk. That was an excerpt from an interview on my podcast. You can get the whole thing at thetoddhermanshow.com, or better yet, just go to any of your podcasting apps on your phone and subscribe to The Todd Herman Show. She and I talked about life in that separate country, and she's the author of a book called, her most recent book with her friend Stacey Manning, whom you've heard on this program. It's called Raising Conservative Kids in a Woke City. I asked Katie about raising Christian kids in a pagan culture, because that's what people in California, Oregon, Washington State, New York, and many other states are doing, raising children in, or trying to raise Christian kids in a pagan culture. That pagan culture has extended around this country. Katie has fought against the madness of gender ideology. She continues to fight against it with her friend Stacy and writing partner. And just this past week, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, is showing himself to be who he is. He is, in my opinion, bought. He vetoed a bill that would outlaw chemical and surgical mutilation of kids. Oh, and by the way, he received over $40,000 from children's hospitals supporting the chemical and surgical mutilation of kids. Yep, it's that old saying, follow the money. This is a Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. Where do you find your hope? As Christians, we're called to have a defense for the optimism we have, to explain it. But where do you find yours? I mean, obviously, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus. But where in the world do you find your hope? Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up is the Tower of Babbling. It's just a quick thought that came into my mind. It's just thinking about, well, how am I doing it? If you haven't been around a good youth ministry, can I just suggest that you maybe look at that as a ministry in which you volunteer? It's a funny thing. I have gotten much more out of that than I think I've fed into it. I started doing this last summer at a summer camp. It's a Bible camp. It's a disciple-making camp. And it was a fantastic experience. It had no sleep. I slept about maybe 3 hours a night, if that. This is a high school camp, and they're given great leeway into how late they get to stay up. And there's a purpose for that. It's to get their yah-yahs out. That's what we used to call it when we were parents of a young child. Get your yah-yahs out by running around the house. And that's also, though, to put them in a relaxed state when we deliver the word. Because playtime is a great way to do that, even with high school youth. And in that case, we had a lot of kids come to the Lord. And nothing will beat the experience I had of these young men coming to me and saying, thank you for bringing me to God, and being able to say to them, oh, well, God did that. And since then, I've been volunteering in the youth ministry on a regular basis, once a week at our church, and occasionally I have to miss a night. I had to miss this week, and I miss it, miss not being there. And the people who run it, the leaders, are far younger than me, just less than half my age. And they gave me a very nice Christmas card and some feedback on, hey, you've contributed to this in the following ways, but I've gotten far more out of it, specifically in the arena of hope. I was reading the Psalms this morning, and I'll forget the number, but one of the Psalms spoke of a generation that seeks the Lord's face. There is a generation of people who are young, 16 through 18, seeking the Lord's face and their presence in his life, in their life. And they're making plans to have him at the center of what they do. I was talking to one young man who has a sports scholarship. His biggest concern is not being a star on the team. He wants to do that. His biggest concern is, how does he maintain touch with God in a college campus? It happens that he's going to a Christian university, but we know that many, many universities labeled as Christian are far from it. His case, it appears to be a really good Christian campus, and it's an hour drive from one of the least godly campuses you will ever find. He's thinking ahead. And he's asked me, an older man, to mentor him on this. We had many a fruitful talk on it. He's made a plan. He's written it down. And more importantly, he shared it with his family. Please hold me to this. Hold me accountable. I've offered, even from afar, to do the same thing. If you haven't been to a youth ministry, go check one out. It's a source of great, great hope and joy for me. And maybe it's cynical of me. It might well be. It might even be inappropriate in the way God searched my heart if it is. But this also gives me hope. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez faces some of her constituents.
Oh, ABC. Oh, hey. You gonna condemn Hamas and the terrorist attacks here or what? You know the three branches of government yet? You are such a loser. You are so stupid. You are the worst. You suck. You are the absolute worst. Condemn the Hamas attacks.
We're to speak respectfully. We are to speak respectfully to elected representatives, and it's difficult. So, yeah, it's probably inappropriate for me to take any pleasure in that at all. I have this theory, though, and it's this, that people should have to live in the world they create for others. Remember the language she uses about us, Trump supporters, or if you're not a Trump supporter, conservatives, or if you're not a conservative, Christians. Not necessarily saying it's a good thing, but it gives me hope that she's having to face up to how she is viewed by many. God uses bad for good all the time. He's famous for that. And in this world, there's a lot of bad to choose from. On this program, we thank God for putting the wise people, like supposedly wise people, like Ocasio-Cortez, on tall towers of shaking sand. And we do that in a feature we call The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three audio bites, usually, audio sound bites. They kind of just underline, italicize, and put in bold my theory that God does this. He lets us see these supposedly wise people up there on the tall towers of shaking sand. The Secretary of State of Maine is one of those people who decided to try to strike President Trump from the ballot. She did it through an executive order, and then she undid it. Because the goal is actually to hand this to the Supreme Court. It's a heads we win, tails you lose proposition from the Democrat Party. Here's the way it works. If the Supreme Court accepts the case, which I think they will, and they say, no, President Trump gets to stay on the ballot, then the Democrats get to continue their drive to destroy the Supreme Court the way they've destroyed every other government institution. And if the Supreme Court says President Trump is, in fact, struck from the ballot, well, then they win on that front, but they also purchase a civil war. It's not what I want. It's just eventually what will happen, because politics is war by peaceful means. So if you listen real close here, Secretary of State of Maine, Shenna Bellows, almost says something unforgivable. She almost suggests that people should listen to independent media sources.
So check your facts. Double check that it's a trusted source, that it's an independent, that it's verified, either, you know, through a Secretary of State's office or through a trusted news source.
She almost said independent. Well, you can't have people going out and checking independent sources. If you did that, you would listen to people like me or many of the other hosts on this network. In fact, all of them are independent. Yeah, we operate here under the AFR banner, and praise God that it's here. But you might be listening to Tucker Carlson. He's now independent. Or many of the local journalists who've left their networks to provide news that is unfiltered by pharma. You can't have that. We can't have people turning to independent sources. It needs to be a trusted source, like the Secretary of State of Maine. Oh, incidentally, Shenandoah has also availed us of the knowledge that the Electoral College is a tool of white supremacy. There's a lot to be discussed in regards to math and the Electoral College, one of them being the fact that that Electoral College math was designed to stop a civil war. The three-fifths compromise, that perverse notion that black people were three-fifths of a person. The South looked at the math and said, wow, you know what? Our perverse institution's going to end. And a war was fought. Well, guess what? If Shenandoah succeeded in striking President Trump from the ballot, a whole massive number of Americans would look at the math. Huh. History may repeat itself, God forbid. Second audio bite in today's Tower Babbling, speaking of math. When math and figurehead Biden go head-to-head, the figurehead always loses.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
I guess I should be flattered. People are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening.
We can get to the U.S. because they're having a new president, Mr. Biden. He's going to help all of us.
The idea that Joe Biden said come because I heard the other day that they're coming because they know I'm a nice guy and I won't do what Trump did.
They're seeing this.
Yeah. Immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come. And those who come seeking asylum, we should immediately have the capacity to absorb them. This country can tolerate a heck of a lot more people. First time ever we've told people they can't come to America. That ends. We're not going to deport anybody who, in fact, has not in this country committed a felony.
Do you have to say quite clearly, don't come?
Yes, I can say quite clearly, don't come. Don't leave your town or city or community.
Or if they attempt to cross into the United States unlawfully, they'll be returned back to Mexico.
But what does Donald Trump do? He says, go back to where you came from. That is not reflective of our America and our values, and it's got to end.
Do not come. Do not come. If you come to our border, you will be turned back.
The math is very, very clear. And so is Biden when he's speaking, when he thinks he's not being heard. A never-ending flow of immigration, uncontrolled, no idea who's coming, taxing our system, and fundamentally transforming America. That's the second soundbite of three in today's Tower Babbling. This is a man named Jeffrey Marsh. He is, in my mind, as close to Satan as he can be. He has a massive TikTok following. He wears makeup and jewelry and pretends to be non-binary. And his entire shtick is talking to kids as if he loves them and cares for them. And he encourages them to do things like leave their families. In this particular clip, he's walking through a mall. He's not wearing his pretend to be a woman getup, by the way. And he has the camera positioned in such a way that it is like looking like he's an adult looking down into the eyes of a little child.
I'm at the shopping mall, LOL. This time of year, I kind of like, I don't think I'm going to buy anything, but I kind of like the hubbub and the holiday kind of feeling. And I wanted to let you know I value you. I thank you. If you have no family, you can be in my family. If you needed to go no contact or limited contact, I love you very much. You're not alone.
He says if you needed to go limited contact or no contact. That's transactivist speak for if you need to leave your family. Now, it's just a guy on the internet, except he's not. There's an entire group of people called glitter parents in separate countries like Seattle who will literally adopt your children. And in separate countries like Washington State and California, if your kids make it there and declare that they are in the wrong body or they need to have an abortion, people like Jeffrey Marsh will have more control, more parental authority than you by sponsorship of the state of California and the state of Washington. Like I said, there's a lot of bad for God to choose from in order to make good from it. And that's what God does. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Everybody knows I like kids better than people.
On a Disciple's View.
I mentioned earlier the youth ministry and that I do get to give and to spend time with kids. But I also mentioned what I get. There's something else I get. And this is not directly from the kids. There's a man who goes to this youth ministry who limps and he looks unwell. I know his story. I know how he gained the limp. And I know how difficult it is for him. There are people who will hire him and then get afraid because he appears disabled. No, I mean it. It's bizarre and it's scary that that's the case. He's a very smart man. He's very capable. He's in a super hard season where people are, well, judging him. Now, sometimes it makes sense. There's physical tasks he can't do well anymore. But there's thinking tasks he's great at. Unfortunately, what happened to him, this injury, has left him speaking in a way that some people think, in fact, have accused him of being drunk. When he shows up for job interviews, he doesn't drink. What I've taken from this, though, is without fail, he's at the youth ministry. Without fail, he comes to summer camp at his own expense. The other day, he told us that he had about $12 for Christmas. Our brother at the table said, hey, look, you can't prevent me from giving you money. I'm giving you money for Christmas. You know what he shares with those kids? Complete faith. And God. Oh, and by the way, the kids love him. They call him the legend. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And until God decides you and I can speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your family. This has been A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman.